Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. Now, Chris, every episode I say I'm Josh, and then the last episode you called me out because you asked me if I had any sort of superhero name, and so I'm going to start this way. Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I am Fred Snerdly.
Fred Snerdly.
That's right.
Goodness gracious, St. Ignatius. Fred Snerdly. Gosh, I don't know how to respond to that, Fred.
Finally, I got you. Yeah. I just want to get you every week.
Yeah, well, can't be that difficult.
No, really not. But really, my name is Josh. Hello, folks.
Josh, that's the straight guy.
Yeah, that is. And so who are you?
I'm just me today.
Okay, very good. Very good.
You know, I have to think about that. You know, who could I be today? Who do I want to be? Well, I don't know. I'd like to be, since it's the NHL playoffs, I'd like to be a top hockey player. Very skating nice. Around, banging people in the corners, scoring the winning goal.
Is that a euphemism?
Could be. I don't know. Did you see, you know, I'm trying to learn this AI stuff, you know, pretty cool stuff for the most part. But did you see the picture I posted of me in AI?
I did. Now, for those of you who don't follow,
we'll have to put it up on
social media.
We'll have to put it up in the video. Yeah.
The freakiest thing, because it has given you a smile on your face, the likes of which you have never had on your face.
Exactly. But, you know, I wish I would have rewritten I thought a little bit more about the caption, but I was so enamored by the way the photo looked. And we'll have to put the photo up because, you know, we are big time now with video. But this gay guy did used to bowl professionally. And of course, that's like a whole other lifetime ago, 40. The last professional bowling tournament was in 1987 in Baltimore, gosh. Maryland.
Yeah.
So that's like 38 years ago, 37 years ago, something in there. But we had this AI picture of me. I thought I'd start bowling again because it's got to be easier with AI. It's pretty fun. So,
but I did want to tell you that I made an observation about myself yesterday as we were at the farmer's market. And so it's become a tradition in our little house for Amanda and I to wake up early, leave the kids at home, and go to this farmer's market down the street and get our coffee and then walk around and people watch. And I realized that as I proceed onward in this life, as I get older, I'm more and more content just to sit somewhere. Like, that has now become a goal. Let's go do this. Let's go to the farmer's market. What do you want to do there? I just want to find a place to sit down.
Sit.
You know.
That's good.
And just people watch. And so I think that this again is a signifier of my years advancing
I think it's advanced years.
My years advancing.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
My advanced years. Very good. Very good. Anyway, yes. I'd like to talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, we're going to talk about aging gayfully, aren't we?
We're going to talk about aging gayfully, but we're also going to talk about your film project.
Yes.
And how you feel about that. Now, I think it's so fascinating that I get to know you right now in this time where you're becoming, or you have become, an actor, but also where you're the story of the journey of you and Richard through the end of his life, through the morass and the mess of the healthcare system, how that's becoming a movie, and what you think about that.
Well, gratifying is one thing. I mean, we still have a little bit of ways to go to get it to production, but we're closer than we've ever been. The professional feedback that we've received on the script and on the process has been invaluable. And to read the comments about where the project is going and the potential of it from people who are in the industry is pretty exciting. That's why I can say that we're closer now than we've ever been. But I think when you venture into projects like this, and this is something that I've learned going through it, is you have to be patient. You have to be patient. And if my motto of if you can dream it, you can do it, could ever be applied to a particular area, it's that in the entertainment industry. You've got to stay the course. You got to find the right people to mesh with your story, especially when it comes to getting into the entertainment industry. It's not as easy as it might appear. But when you connect with the right person or people and or organizations that get what you're trying to do and see the essence of the story, because, you know, everybody has heard me say that everybody has a story, but not everybody gets a chance to tell their story. And we have a chance to tell the story of Richard and I, which is, especially as it relates to the caregiving side, it's really no different than any other couple that goes through a terrible diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis. But it's what happens along the line during that diagnosis that pretty much impacts not only us, but the systems that we engaged with in the midst of a terminal illness. And I think that's one of the captivating components of the story. But the other thing that is very timely, and this is another thing about being patient with a story, because I think we can all agree that society is a little upside down these days. That's a kind of a polite way of saying it, I think. And our story, which is, again, not unique to folks that are in dealing with a terminal illness, but our story really comes back to love, care, and commitment. And who doesn't love a love story? And that's really what our movie project is about. And you know, I think it's okay to kind of reveal one of the changes that is in the process with the script. And it was, again, recommended by the professionals in the industry, is the name, the migraine folder. Just, it wasn't catchy. It just, there was hard to put a tagline to it. And while I understood what the migraine folder meant, you have to think broader than just what it looks like to me or the writers. So we've come up, my partner in this, Jack Tater, he come up with a tagline, such as we. And when you grasp that, and there's a famous quote, and I'll pull that up before we sign off here today to read the quote. And it really sets the tone about what's going on in society today is why do we seem to be treating each other disrespectfully? You know, what's the underlying tone? Because really, when you get right down to it, you know, we're all supposed to be about love, care, and commitment and acceptance and being there for one another. And I think that's kind of what the essence of our story really is, over and above systems interfering with our health challenges and calamities. Because anybody that's dealing with a terminal illness, the last thing that you want to have to deal with is systems interfering with your health care or interfering with doubting whether or not you're accepted. I mean, that if you've not experienced that in life, and there are plenty of people that haven't experienced that, but there's more people that have. And that's what we're trying, and that's the message we're trying to convey in the story. We're fortunate. When I read the script, and it's pretty amazing to see something on a script that you lived. And the other one of the challenges is when you think about, you know, most movies are, you know, 90 minutes. I mean, there's that hour and a half. You really don't push it. Some there's 2 and 3 hour movies, but you know, but you can't really get everything in a 90 minute movie that has happened. But you want to focus on what the core elements are, and that's why there's going to be other components to the story, where there'll be a book. You know, we're doing these podcasts, and there'll be more of this as well. But I think to be able to sit and look at this and read it and see where it's going, it's gratifying in one sense, because this is my gift to Richard. But it's also mindful that sharing your story is cathartic, and it does really help others as well.
So it sounds like you've made peace with the fact that they're going to have to change some of the details of your story for you know, brevity's sake and for storytelling purposes. But what are the parts of it that are non-negotiable that you want to make sure that they don't change?
Well, I think the ultimate non-negotiable area would be the authenticity, demonstrating the authenticity of our relationship. That really is a non-negotiable, but that also is a main part of the story. I mean, when you think about the two main characters, the protagonist, you know, it's Richard and me, but really the main character in this is Richard, you know, because his humor comes out, and you know, the Mutt and Jeff combination of us, him being a foot shorter than me. But I also recognize that you can't put 11 years of a relationship and 7 months of a terminal illness into 90 minutes. And there's some things that you just have to let the professionals handle and just trust that it's going to be okay. You know, one of the things that we have added into the film, which I think is appropriate, is, you know, we've got the protagonist, which is us, but, you know, the antagonist, just, you know, cancer is an antagonist, mm-hmm. but we've added two fictional characters to the script, Bert and Madge. And it's been fun following their storyline and how they've interacted with us. And it also helps tell the story of how people in society who really don't know each other cross paths in the most delicate way when two loving couples are faced with a terminal illness, and what do? You end up, I think we're all kind of called when we can to help each other. And that's kind of what the story really emphasizes. It's emphasizes about, you know, again, people think this is corny, but it does come back to love, care, and commitment, and how the protagonist and the antagonist really end up helping one another.
How has this whole process of writing your story? I mean, you have certainly produced a lot of thoughts, and you've expressed yourself a lot, not just through the development of the script, but writing the story as you have in the blog beforehand and all these different things. But how is this process of you going back and remembering it and then putting it down on paper or on the computer or handing it off to other people? Has that changed how you self remember what you went through or how you feel about it?
Josh, there's a lot of mixed emotions in this question.
Yeah.
And I think most people know that I've stayed in the care community as an advocate after Richard made his life transition. But it's like a seesaw. I mean, you learn to love the people that you lose. You learn to love them differently. They're still a part of you. But on one side, you know, this is my final act of caregiving for Richard. This is something he always wanted to work in theater. He was a theater buff, opera, music. I mean, he lived in Manhattan a majority of his life. So, you know, for me, it is a way of giving back to him. But then on the other side of it, it's hard. It's hard revisiting it. Even after 11 years, it's hard. Because I can pretty much look at the calendar and know what happened at what day. So there's a part of me that you never, how do I want to say this? I never want to forget it, but I don't want to, live it every day. And getting in, especially the last 6-7 months where since really October, where we've connected with a production company who's showing great interest in taking on the film and knowing what we have to do to cross the T's and dot the I's to structure it in a way that a professional production company would ask you to do. You have to go back and revisit all those. But on this other side of that, I've got trusted co-writers. It'd be hard just to turn it over to somebody else that you didn't know. But you have to pace yourself in working with it. There's times where your mindset is, I want to get right into this. But then after revisiting some of the painful days, you have to step aside from it a while. That's why patience really pays off in this process. There are films that have been made that have taken years in the making. Then all of a sudden the time is right. And that's really what's happened here. The time is right for our film to be made. And again, we're closer than we've been. This has been a 10-year project for me. And I'll keep talking about this until they throw me in the incinerator. That's how important this project is to me. Over and above everything else that I do, this is the most important project that I will work on the rest of my life.
So one of the things that made me want to talk about this subject in this way was this whole idea of becoming a symbol for other people. Have you considered that and what that might mean? Is that you and your story, whether it's an audience of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or an audience of 20, that to someone, or hopefully to many people in that room watching that film, this story that you're telling of yours is going to kind of become theirs as well as they relate to it. And you and Richard will become symbolic of something larger. Have you put any thought into what that's going to be like?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of a surreal thought.
Yeah, I really haven't. I just kind of go back to my experience as a social worker, as a caregiver advocate, sharing stories, all the podcasts on the Whole Care Network, how story sharing is cathartic in one sense, but how story sharing also provides the listeners with a sense of comfort. Because in every story, and I think in most every story, you can find yourself in a story. You can ask yourself that question, what would I have done differently, or how could I have helped, or what situation, what if I was in that situation, what would I have done? And I think the proof in the pudding of that is the comments that our story received in the Sun Sentinel when it was published 11 years ago. The comments that came in from people who didn't recognize or didn't know those things could actually happen to people like Richard and I, that could actually have happened to them. And it becomes more of an awareness. And again, it comes back to that human element of love, care, and commitment. And how are we treating one another? Because when you get right down to it, especially when life transitions, why are there roadblocks to be with somebody when life transitions at the most delicate time of life? Why are systems causing that to happen? And I think when you tell it in a real life story, people step back and say, that's not right. That could have been me. That could have been my brother or sister. There's just so many pieces of reality that happens in true life stories that people don't really think about until they're in the middle of it, or they see it happen to somebody else. And that is what fosters change. And that is what gets people to think. And I think when we look at how things are right now, there seems to be a devoid of critical thinking about how we're dealing with societal issues and how we treat one another. I mean, I feel like I like to be, I feel like I'd like to be kind to everybody. I hope I never lose that. But you get the sense that maybe that's not the way it is right now. And I'm hoping our story really is one of the conduits to saying that, love, care, and commitment is for everybody. It has no gender boundaries.
Well, I am very, very, very much looking forward to this thing getting produced. And hopefully, opening night, I can sit right next to you while we watch it together.
I don't see why not. They might miss... People sitting behind us might say, you got to turn off that shine. I can't see the film.
Well, on that note, that'll do us for today. Chris, how can people get in touch with us? I'm going to talk a little bit about query letters as well.
Well, I think they can get in touch with us at yesiam@agkfilly.com. And we're going to be debuting query letters where we want to hear from you. Tell us your story.
Love that. Love that. All right, Chris, until next week, y'all take care of each other.
Kind of chill. Yeah, it's all good.
Yep. All right. See you later.